Welcome everyone to the Friends That Carry On podcast, where we dive deeper into our trips, unpack tips, and everything in between. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to go on a trip with your favourite group of friends.
Hello and welcome to the Friends That Carry On podcast, or as you see it online, the FTCO Travel Podcast. We are a group of friends who like to travel the world and share our adventures with anyone that wants to listen. It started off by trying to create FOMO in our other friends to get them to come on our trips, and now it's led to more and getting out there and just sharing our stories. Anyhow, you can find us on friendsatcarryon.com and any podcast that you listen to, whether that's iTunes or Spotify or all the different channels out there, you can find us there. Anyhow, today in-house, the friends in-house are Tony Price, and Brian Romine.
Hey, everybody.
So today we have a special guest. We have Jackie Williams from New Vibe Travel, and she resides in Georgia and is a top travel advisor, been doing it for over 9 years. So, Jackie, welcome to the Friends That Carry On podcast.
Thanks, friends. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, no, we're glad to have you. Now, it sounds like you've been doing travel advising for some time. Why don't you give us a little bit about your background?
Yes, I did. I have been doing travel for a while. So I started at the ripe old age of 24.
Wow.
But no, actually, I probably consider a baby to most in the industry. However, I do specialize in, I like to say experiential, but most people say, what is that? I don't understand that. So it's really travel with a focus on experiences around music, culture, nature, and wellness. And I actually like to customize experiences unique to the individual, and I love small groups, intimate settings, which allows my clients to truly get immersed in the destination and go places that many people can't go when it's a large group of people. I have several credentials in the industry, so I'm highly certified. I will not bore you with those statistics. however, when we have our consultation, I can definitely go over those details if that's important. But yes, I love what I do. And it's actually a long passion of mine. When I was growing up, I didn't get to travel much. My mother was working a lot. And my grandparents had all these pictures of them cruising to Bermuda. And I was like, oh, I want to go on a cruise. So they actually treated me for my 16th birthday. I was still 15 at the time. And we went to Puerto Rico, St. Martin, St. Thomas, and one other destination on the Carnival Sensation. And it was so funny because that ship used to be a 7-night itinerary. It was so new. We had our ball gowns on. And now it's one of those 3-night itineraries. I'm like, please don't let me see that ship again. Yeah.
It's funny how things change, huh?
Right.
It does. All about perspective, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds great. That's quite a background there. Let me ask you, because I know when we travel, we like to get in touch with the local culture, whether that's the music, the food, the just the different vibe that goes on there. But right. And you like to work with small groups. How does somebody find you on, say, the Taste of Music and some of the things you mentioned, which I think is awesome, but do people find you that way, or they come to you the normal way, like anybody else would? Hey, I want to go to Jamaica, I want to go to Europe, I want to go wherever. And then you right. bring it out in them based on their taste and then focus their trips or itineraries based on that.
Right. So I guess that question is like, how do people find me? Well, I've actually had a big word of mouth in business so far. I am on social media with the handle at New Vibe Travel. And my website is newvibeluxtravel.com, Lux, L-U-X-E, but you'll see that in the show notes. However, when working with me, I have a almost like a psychological evaluation, and I hope that doesn't.
Wow, you would have a field day with us.
But you know, I already feel like I know you guys already, but I just have a very good discernment of people. But actually, prior to this call, I was on a consult with a millennial honeymooner. They will be honeymooning. And I was asking these questions, and they were like, oh my goodness, I never thought I just went into going on a trip, you know? So I really get deep into who you are and who your friends are and what your interests are. Because it's actually interesting that you all can actually go to a destination and you can have the beach bum, the active adventurer, and the shopper, and the person who just can't stop talking to everyone on the streets, and everyone have a good time when I plan your experiences. So it takes a lot. It's definitely about relationship building. So definitely it's not one of those, hey, I want to go here and let's focus on the price and here you go. So it's a very, I don't want to call it involved to scare anyone away. But I want people to really truly understand that I take their preferences and consideration very highly. And so if you're going to work with me, that has to be something that's important to you, or we just won't be a good fit. We could talk about travel all day, but I probably won't be the best fit for you if that's not something that's important to you, you know?
Well, and I think that is important. What I find interesting, and I hope our listeners can take from this, because a lot of people, and I'm sure you see this, are first time travelers or have only traveled in groups or just, you know, it was already set up for them, you know, and hey, like you said, I just want to go on a cruise to the Bahamas or whatever, and didn't get in depth like you're talking about there. In our travels, I know we've been fortunate, and we've got some friends that are real good planners, and we do really get off the beaten path and get in some some neat little nooks and wherever our travels take us.
Yes.
So I think it's important for our listeners to know that there can be more to travel than just showing up to the main spots and actually going a block or two off the main corridors and seeing what's really there. So how do you draw that out of them?
Yes, most definitely. You know, I draw it out of you without you realizing it. We just start having conversation, and I bring up all kind of things, such as even from what you like to do on the weekend, you know, even if you say you've been camping before, well, how did that trip come about, right? Because it may not have been something where you initiated that experience. So now I know that you're a person that may need me to introduce you to something that's off the beaten path that you may not have experienced before. And if, especially if you're going with a group of friends, to get their buy-ins too, to kind of urge you along. So it's very a collaborative process. Actually, if we wanted to go through a different episode, we could definitely go through a case study and you could see it unfold. And you would be like, oh my gosh, how did this girl get this out of me? I never tell anyone this stuff.
I'd rather just be a case study rather than hear about it.
I think you've been a couple case studies.
You're like, how did this happen? Because I've had people I literally turned into an almost full-blown marriage counseling sometimes, getting off the phone. You're like, how do we even get on this topic 2 hours later sometimes? And it's just been so fun, and my husband is just like, who are you talking to? I'm like, I'm talking to a prospect. You don't even know them? Like, no, it's just we're having fun. So
Jackie, when you're talking with somebody or a group, do they already have a destination in mind, or are you talking to them first and then recommending destinations?
Well, that's funny. Most of the time, they think they have a destination in mind, right? They think they know where they want to go. Mm-hmm. I just had someone say, hey, look up Maui. And we want an all-inclusive. Well, you're not going to get an all-inclusive in Maui, right? So they're like, oh, really? You don't know Hawaii doesn't offer all-inclusive like the traditional Caribbean way or Mexico? And they're like, oh, I didn't really understand that. So then one of my specialties, which I love, is I really love mentoring and coaching. So when I get to educate a client or a prospect on a destination, oh my gosh, it's like the highlight of the entire experience for me. So you may think you know where you want to go, but based on, like I said, those unique preferences of the group, even something as simple as I'm a vegan or a vegetarian. I know that the destination you go to only serves pork and chicken. Okay, well, we need to find.
You will be hungry.
Right. You are. Let me tell you, I love Mexico, and I can get some really great seafood in Mexico, but I'm a pescatarian now. And oh my goodness, all the pork and chicken, even going to Jamaica, I'm like, oh, I can't eat, you know, dirt chicken and, well, I can, but I choose not to, curry chicken and the jerk anymore. So that's important too. So I just go very in depth in who you are as a person and who your group is as a collective to just try to identify. And it may require some back and forth, not too often. I always say if we have to talk more than 3 times, then we're not a good fit. You know, because I very do pride myself on being able to listen to you and your needs. And I'm like a encyclopedia junkie. Like, I love knowledge. So even if it's a destination that I'm not actively pursuing for clients, I'm sitting on a webinar speaking to a travel supplier or tourism board just so I can understand what it offers in case I speak to someone. And that's the best solution for them, right? So it's very engaged like that.
So give us a couple examples of some off the, either very adventurous things, you know, like scaling Mount Everest or something crazy like that, or just off the beaten path. What are some unique adventures that most people wouldn't go on that you've booked for somebody?
Well, some of the most unique ones, like in the Caribbean, for instance, I'll highlight Jamaica because that's one of those islands that I think it gets a lot of, I've been there before, right? Or, oh, it's so common and I don't want to go there. I want to go somewhere exotic, right? But most of them have never been to Kingston or went to Port Antonio or even gone to the Blue Mountains and hiked up like 8 hours at night or 6 to 8 hours to go watch the sunrise, right? And they're like, wow, that's possible, you know? Or gorilla trekking is one of my ultimate bucket lists in Rwanda. And that's something that you know of and it's kind of common. But for at least my current clientele, they're not that adventurous at first, right? And to thinking that that's something that's even possible for them, or even having a dinner on a glacier. You're just eating in the middle of the ice. Like,
I'm up for both of those.
Yeah, we're definitely.
Can I have dinner on a glacier with a gorilla?
Yeah, I was going to say, can I bring a gorilla with me to the glacier?
Two right? birds with one stone.
You know, and I think those things are really cool. I mean, the sky is the limit. And one of the great things is my affiliation with Virtuoso, which is a luxury consortium which represents the best of the best. And it's amazing, like, oh man, I don't want to get it wrong, but I spoke to a vendor, one of my partners today, and one of her contacts can allow me to, oh man, there's a museum in Italy, and I don't want to get it wrong, but he's the only person, her contact is the only person that can get us access to eat breakfast there. Nice. Or he's one of the only people that has a permit to land a helicopter in the Sahara Desert to actually offer a picnic. You know, something just, it just unique is that you won't be able to get that experience booking through Expedia or Viator. It comes through the relationships with someone like myself who have those connections.
Right. Well,
I wish we'd have had you because that'd have been a hell of a lot quicker than our 8-hour van ride over the Atlas Mountains and 2-hour camel ride into the desert.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the helicopter ride would have been much nicer.
And why didn't you choose the helicopter?
We didn't know it was an option.
See, look at that.
Our friend booked the trip, told us it was a 2-hour ride. So we're like, oh, yeah, that's great. 8 hours later in this 20-year-old Safari Astro minivan that wasn't well-equipped on the roads of the Atlas Mountains, which is one of the top 10 most dangerous roads in the world, we ended up finding our camels to ride another hour and a half out into the desert to spend the night with a Berber tribe.
It was awesome. So I'm still glad we did that once, but the next time I might do the helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter would definitely come in handy.
I was just about to say that. Like, man, that sounds kind of cool. Just the adventure of it, because I'm an adventure junkie that will put myself through hell like that just to have say I've done it. And then the next day, I'm like, okay, now how do you get me back over there in 10 minutes?
Yeah, that was pretty much the case. We were like, damn, we got another 8-hour van ride.
But we are glad we got the story now.
Yeah.
But those 16 hours weren't fun.
No, I can imagine that. That was just like in Costa Rica in October. We went from La Fatana, like the where the volcano was at, to, Manuel Antonio. And that was actually the first time me personally did the 8-passenger plane and whatnot. Nice. And it just cut out 4 hours of driving with, you know, people and like you saying, like, oh, we got to do this. And so now that's like the experience I'm gonna plan for everyone going forward now. You have to take the commuter jet over. And everyone's going to be afraid like I was, I'm sure, if you've never been on one of those small planes or you're afraid of, you know. But it was so awesome just to kind of see the countryside from a different perspective. So I love that.
That's what we like the most is seeing things from not the pictures you see all the time. It just makes a big difference on your perspective and just growing as a person and just everything. It just opens your eyes to a lot of things.
It does.
So, Jackie, you're recommending a lot of places. What's some of your favorite places to visit or recommend when you get people that are looking to travel to some unique spots?
Oh, that's a very great question. I wasn't prepared for that one. let's touch a continent. So let's talk about Africa. Definitely Tanzania, Kenya area. I love wildlife. I love culture too, but I think I may have been like a lion or some type of wildebeest in another life.
I think Brian was a hyena, but
might still be.
Just a guess.
So I love being one with nature. So definitely to take you on Zanzibar, right? Oh my gosh. So definitely those places over in Africa.
Now, are those like a safari to get out and see these animals? I mean, not hunting them safari, but just getting out like a zoo experience in a wildlife preserve or something? Or how's that work?
Oh, man, I don't know if I would call it a zoo, but definitely. Definitely a wildlife safari in the natural habitat of the wildlife. And I'm a big on sustainability. So definitely one of the things before I even understood what sustainability was about protecting the environment and giving back to the local people, the communities and such, I had always had that vision of like say in Southeast Asia and Thailand and Chiang Mai, riding the elephants. And now I'm like, oh, no, it's not such a great idea. I wish I would have did that before I knew better. You know, now you know better, you do better. But definitely I'm really big on that. So definitely the safari reserves and the game reserves that I recommend will definitely have that protective element to nature as well as to the local communities. But no, definitely you may wake up to elephants 10 feet from you. You know, it may be a tented safari out in the middle of nowhere. It could be a more of a luxury experience, or it could be more of a roughing it experience. It's whatever your style is, because for me, luxury is not based on a price tag or how something looks per se. It is really what makes you happy and what fulfills you, right? So definitely going over there, it's all about the wildlife. It's all about nature, and it's about protecting them and looking at them from a safe distance in their habitat.
Yeah, that's nice. Definitely on our list. It was actually a potential for this year before this craziness hit. But so much for that.
I know, actually, that was on my list as well this year. And I was, it was actually going to be more of a teaching experience where they were going to take us out into the wild and help us. Like, we were going to observe how they observe the animals. I can't really go into details because I didn't really get that far into the planning with them. But it was going to be, like, very in-depth. Like, I'm more of, like, a game host. It was going to be pretty interesting. So they have all those things, especially if you have kids. I don't have kids. I'm a dink, dual income, no kids. But I do understand family travel is very important. Exposing, I have an affinity, and I understand the value of exposing youth to things very early on. Most of the time, going to Africa, they want them to be at least 12, but probably more around 15 years of age, just because we don't need no wild child screaming out at the wrong moment, right?
Yeah. No, that would be perilous.
Literally.
Right. Yeah, but Africa, Southeast Asia, actually, Indonesia with Bali, I have an affinity for that area as well. And I'm a Caribbean baby. I love not just the beach. I love the people and the culture. And definitely if I can get to an active island such as St. Lucia, which is known as like the Hawaii of the Caribbean, that's always fun.
Nice. So. Well, let me go off script just a little bit. let me give you our general things we've done as travelers, and you tell us a yeah. place you would recommend that we need to go. We have run with the bulls multiple times in Pamplona, Spain. We've seen the northern lights above the Arctic Circle. We've been in Bangkok, Thailand for New Year's Eve. We've traveled multiple places in Europe, done Oktoberfest. We've already mentioned a trip to Morocco and then out into the Sahara Desert. So what would you recommend for an experienced traveler like we are?
That's good. Hold on. I'm looking at my map above me, actually.
Yeah, because we're pretty much resorting to throwing darts at a dartboard at this point.
I know. I think for you, Ned, you should head over to India.
Well, that's a call.
That is a good call.
I definitely had Africa on the short right. list.
Yeah,
the
most definitely.
Part of I Africa, can, middle to
yeah,
southern.
Of course.
Because we I also want to do a little, I don't want to call it a little hike.
No, yeah. Kilimanjaro is not
Kilimanjaro, but that's yeah, kind of on the list too as far as with the safari. But yeah, but India is on there.
Yeah, so in
Tanzania, Kenya would definitely be where I would recommend to you all because you're very active and definitely Kilimanjaro over in, you know, that area. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll actually love what India has to offer as
any
well.
Any particular part of India? I mean, you get the standards, right? Is there something that is not well known that you really enjoy?
Actually, that's going to be a hard call on me right now, but definitely going to have to try Jaipur.
Okay.
And there's this southern area, and oh my gosh, my friends will get me that I don't remember the name. I have a lot of friends from India. I'm trying to look at my map to see if it shows when I look at it, and I'm probably going to butcher the name of it.
Oh, we do it all the time.
Is it Panaji? Because I know my friends are in Pune, and it's south of them. And so it's like in Panaji, but it starts with a P, and I think that's what it's called. Okay. But it's this very coastal region, but it has like this jungle feel to it as well. If y'all are listening to me, I'm so sorry if I'm wrong. But when I saw it for myself, I was like, I'm there. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, definitely. And then over in the Himalayas up north in Nepal, in that area up north.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So that, yeah, we've got a good friend
who hikes to base camp from, does he start in Kathmandu or Nepal? Or
I forget where he start? Just starts all the time.
He's an expat from Britain who lives in Thailand, and he does this pretty much every year.
Every Christmas,
he's off one. He's his teacher, and hikes. It's about a 2-week journey. Hikes to base camp, then hikes back out with the Shermas and all.
Nepal is where he starts.
I knew Nepal is where he starts. I just couldn't remember the town, but I know Brian definitely. I'm semi interested. But Brian's really interested in taking his son and doing that as well.
Yeah, Bhutan, that's a nice little area not far from there, and all bordered by the Himalaya Mountains. So I think that would be a great area for you all.
Yeah, that's one
of the
things.
But definitely, if you go to Africa, definitely.
Yeah, that's definitely on our list. I know we found our first love was Europe, and it's still a huge love. But I have found seeing some of like just natural beauty has been pretty cool. You're just kind of mesmerized with what's out there and how different it looks. So just like what we
were. What part of Europe?
All over. I mean, I'm still I'm a Francophile. I love France.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just huge France. I could easily move there right now and say la vie.
But well, Tony was supposed to spend most of July in
France. I was actually supposed to be renting a house in Bordeaux for the entire month of July. Oh. And that got shot to hell.
So, you have to do it next year. Don't.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely go back over. So, but yeah, France. I mean, Spain is huge.
We've been
to Pamplona and Madrid and Barcelona, and I mean, we still have to see a lot of the other parts of Spain. But
we do.
Portugal, right. Love Portugal. Germany.
Germany's
love
been
Germany.
Good. I mean,
which
London,
part of Germany?
I've been all over. Munich, Stuttgart. Where were we? We are up in the northern part. Where are we? Düsseldorf.
Cologne.
The only place Cologne. I haven't been over to Berlin yet, but.
Yeah, I need to
get
to Berlin.
I've only been to Munich so far, and I'm going to tell you, I was not a beer lover until I had their beer. It was so funny. I have like this little embarrassing story. So.
Oh, please do tell.
So coming home, I had coach seats coming back, and usually I say, okay, I'm going to sit by the window because, you know, I'm sit by the window. And going, I was fine, right? I was good. Didn't use the bathroom. I slept the whole way. I promise you, I peed like 13 times. Like the diet, but I didn't drink anything on the plane. I didn't even eat anything on the plane. And the guy had to the aisle seat, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I have to go again. And he was like, well, ma'am, I must tell you, I'm so impressed by you. You haven't drinking anything all day, and you're just like a water hose. So that was just like, I was like, the beer is catching up with me.
So were you at Oktoberfest?
No, it wasn't Oktoberfest. I actually went with a tour company, Contiki. They specialize in guided experiences for the millennial motor coach. And so, yeah. That's
what was the name of it?
Contiki.
I think that's the one that we ran into in Greece last year.
It's possible. Yeah.
Remember, that was me and Eric. We got stuck. That's kind of another crazy little story, but we ran into a local, and the guy has been in Greece for all of his life and ran restaurants, and he renamed his little port shop after the tour company, because he figured every time the boat would show up, they would see that and go, oh, that must be part of the trip, and they would just show up.
Smart.
I was like, that is brilliant.
Right.
Yeah, but so I'm pretty sure that's the name.
Right.
So anyway, but that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, let's segue a little bit. Obviously, travel has been impaired this year, to say the least. And to my knowledge, Mexico is one of the only few places you can go from at least from the U.S. without needing a COVID test. Now, other places are open up where you can go with a COVID test. And I even saw an article, but I only saw in one place. I don't trust the article yet because I haven't seen it all over, that the U.S., that Secretary of State dropped us from level 4 to less, to where it's just per the individual country, not just an overall band. Mm. That was yesterday. So, but anyhow, give us your take on traveling right now and in the near future, what you see, how you see things playing out and what people can do or not do. Cause I know people are tired of being cooped up and want to go somewhere.
Very, very true. And actually that article you can trust. Even if you go to the U.S. State Department, we are now at a level 3, which is reconsider travel due to COVID. So that's very great news. And hopefully some of the travelers' employers won't penalize them now, because I know a lot of people were getting, when I say penalized, meaning if they were traveling under a level four advisory, either their insurance wouldn't cover them, or they will have to be quarantined from their jobs, which could lead to being laid off. So there's a lot of reasons why people chose not to travel immediately when some of the borders came open. So definitely Mexico is probably one of the most friendly destinations right now where you can travel without any testing. And the great thing is a lot of the accommodations there are really staying very strict to protocol. I'm very proud. I haven't personally been there yet, but I have other industry colleagues who've been there and been reporting. And they have QR codes for menus, and everyone's wearing masks. So that's really cool. Right now, the Caribbean is pretty much looking good. Antigua's open, Aruba, Barbados, Dominican Republic, Jamaica. So only, at least for Jamaica, the only four states that require a negative COVID test before they can even fly into the onto the island is Florida, Arizona, Texas, and New York currently.
That's cool. That's
so we're good to go.
Yeah. We're in West Virginia.
Yeah, most definitely. And then St. Bart's is open, St. Lucia. So, yeah, the Caribbean is actually open. Croatia, Dubai is open, Iceland. Do you know that? I didn't realize this because I'll be honest, just as a travel advisor, when they say, okay, Europe is closed down, I never even considered it. But the UK never closed to us. What happened is maybe the airlines stopped flying there, right? But right. The UK never really closed. So
yeah, UK's good. And just for listeners, we confirmed that you can still get throughout Europe. You just can't fly into it via the airport. So if you go to the UK and quarantine for 14 days, right, you can travel across the EU without much trouble at all, as long as you go car or train.
Exactly. Thing, so. It's just really air. And then Kenya, I was very impressed to see that Egypt, Kenya, Rwanda, Tanzania, and Zambia are all open, and also the Maldives and the French Polynesian area. So
cool.
Nice. Okay. So there are options. So that's good.
Yeah,
there are options. The key is going to be if you have to do connection flights, and there's flights. Yeah, and the layovers with flight cancellations and those types of challenges. Because even Delta Airlines is not known for cancellations most of the time. And when I originally booked our tickets for Jamaica, there were two flights a day going and coming back. And then they canceled one to just have one flight. So even my return flight had comfort. So our first flight going, we had first class. Coming back, we had comfort plus. But because they consolidated the flights, they still kept the middle seats open, but I was bumped to the main cabin, which was only a few seats back, but, you know, I'm spoiled. So that was a problem for me in the moment. Well, but, yeah.
I would say you're still lucky. We took a flight too here recently, and my flight was completely booked. They had people still on the standby, and that was American, God bless, but hey.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I was like, wow, what happened to, like,
Yeah. I know. That's a little heartburn for me. I'm a germaphobe, actually. So I was actually happy when everyone started being more clean and more conscious of being sanitized with the sanitation. But yeah, I really won't be comfortable with a full flight for myself personally. JetBlue is the only other airline that I'm very familiar with that has the middle seats blocked still. So Delta and JetBlue, if those airlines are in your market, are a way to fly.
Yeah, I'm still a Delta fan. They're the best. That's my opinion.
Yeah, for me too.
Yep.
Delta proud.
Yep. Best customer service in the world.
Yep, no,
they really do, because they took care of me. Even though they bumped me, they had some credits for that, and a customer service line to call for a refund on that portion of the trip where I did not get the cabin that I, you know, the category that I had paid for. So the customer service is definitely there. But yeah, to your point, it's not dismal for all travel. Honestly, me traveling to Jamaica, I'll definitely say it's about your comfort zone and your trust of people.
Right.
I'm very trusting, but I don't trust your germs, right? So and so I'm so scornful, that's the term my husband uses with me, before COVID. So definitely now I'm looking at you with five eyes. So but for the most part, it's very comfortable. I actually have a lot more confidence traveling internationally than domestic. I know there's this big push for domestic travel and RVs, and but I'm like, I don't get it. We're the ones who are spiking. I mean, we are citizens of, you know, the United States. I mean, we're touching each other. I don't know. I know it's probably may sound ignorant to some people, and I hope that doesn't offend anyone, right? But I just don't understand it as much, traveling domestically versus to a destination that is not spiking as much as we are. I know not every region of the United States is in that situation. So for me, my take is now to consider villas. To look for private villas, private, not necessarily homes. Definitely, I wouldn't necessarily go Airbnb, but one of the things I work with credible villa management companies. So they know they're either they own the villas themselves or they're very connected with their hosts, you know, the home hosts, and enabling to enforce the COVID protocols and having safety measures and checks of that matter. So I think that's still important, because knowing whether a home was vacant, how long it's been vacant, how thoroughly, what's the cleaning protocol of that? Do they have carbon monoxide and fire detectors throughout? Those are very important when considering a villa. So that's probably more my suggestion for the domestic route. And that's just from me. I know a lot of advisors that still, like, you know, they'll sell anything in the United States. Unfortunately, that's not me. I'm very selective, mainly because I turn into mama bear when my clients travel.
Well, I think that's good. I mean, you're the, like you said, the mama bear. So you're doing the far end of the, I don't know about the far end, but a heavy spectrum on safety. So if they're comfortable below that that level, then they're good all the way around. So you got it covered.
That's what I like to say, and I'm confident in that. And so I'm very particular, and if that's something that people appreciate, then we'll definitely work well together, you know. So, but I definitely say travel at your own comfort. I had a client that kept trying to gauge how I felt, and I'm like, well, I'm going to Jamaica. I mean, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? You know, it's all about what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, that's that's a good point, because I know Tony and I are pretty much willing to go anywhere. We just went to Key West, which obviously is a hot spot. I
mean, Florida's a hot spot.
Florida's a hot spot.
Key West wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. But we followed all the, you know, we follow all the guidelines and all that type of stuff. But in the beginning of the year, in January, we were in Southeast Asia.
Right.
Now, this wasn't widespread that Corona was happening. I got a text on like January 3rd from my daughter asking about some Chinese virus or something's going around. I was like, I don't know. Don't worry about it. So then we fly back on January 9th. Our layover was in Hong Kong, then had a 16-hour flight from there to the U.S. And the lady beside me was an elder Asian lady. She did wear a mask, but she was hacking the whole time.
Right. Oh,
the whole time, and constantly getting up over me, going to the bathroom. She was in the center seat. I was in the aisle. And I did get sick a few days, you know, a week later or whatever. Had probably one of the worst chest coughs and burning in my chest ever. So I never got tested, because it still wasn't a thing then to think about that or whatever. I just figured it was a chest cold or whatever. So better than average that I did get COVID back then, but I don't think twice about it. Anywhere, going anywhere, doing anything, obviously following the precautions, being safe to myself and everybody else, but I don't think twice about it.
Well, you know, one of the things I would recommend people do is just get tested prior to traveling. Know your status. You know, I'm sure we know the famous campaign by back in the 90s, get tested, know your status.
Different test today.
Right? But that's kind of how I take COVID nowadays, right? Just know your status when you're going to go around people because you can't tell for some of us.
No, that's
right?
A good point. Yep.
Yeah, just be responsible. So my husband and I did get tested when we went to Jamaica, although it was not required to, right? Just so we understood that if we were positive and we still chose to travel, then we knew how we would have wanted to conduct ourselves. That wasn't the case, but I'm sure there are people who are traveling positive and they may know they are, right?
Sure.
And hopefully they're being responsible by wearing their masks and just being very clean with their hands and whatever else that could transmit this thing, which we don't really know, right, for the most part. So I just say know your status, be responsible. And one of the things that you will observe when traveling, a lot of these destinations, just they want to be so hospitable and they want people to feel like they're on vacation and they don't really want to be like a burden. So they're not enforcing that we have to wear our mask on their properties. However, the staff wears their mask. But speaking to some of the staff, they kind of wish we did wear our mask because they're not quite sure, right? And then they go home and their medical systems may not be as advanced as ours. So that's just I just urge people to just be considerate of others. Even on vacation, right? I know we have a debate about that here in America, but a lot of these people are scared, but they're still serving us.
Sure.
And no, so that's kind of more.
That's a good way to be. Always be respectful. I know when we were in Key West, the city itself took an extra step to make sure everybody wore their mask outside as well. So it wasn't just in buildings. But you could take it off once you sat down at the restaurant, and we went to Pepe's restaurant.
Maison Pepe.
Maison Pepe, which is a very nice restaurant there, Mexican restaurant, Cuban restaurant. But they had the extra protection of you could take it off, but when your server or busboy or whoever came around to help you out, when they approached, you put your mask on while they were there, and then you could take it back off as soon as they left. So.
Yeah.
And we had no problem doing that, and it's just what you do. It's part of it.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, that's what my husband and I did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Jackie, you can. We're gonna jump in because since you guys went to Jamaica, we want to hear a little bit about Jamaica here. But I know we get a lot of questions, and everybody's wondering, you know, what it is like to travel, and you know, what we found is this: it was probably actually cleaner and more sanitized than in most times that you travel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, from a hotel standpoint, most of it was they were not doing daily housekeeping or things like that. You just called and requested things. But everything was extremely well maintained. The properties had, you know, limited services on certain things. But everything was pretty normal other than the fact that we're wearing a face mask. But we had great dining experiences. Mm-hmm. Most of the restaurants, you know, there were a few of them we found that we didn't want to venture in because they had the tables a little close for my liking, but but most of it, well, every place that we actually ate, they were well spaced out. The only people we were talking to was the four of us that were without our mask while we're eating. But other than that, you know, it was very doable. So, but again, like you said, it's more about your comfort level and how you feel.
Right.
And we felt that as long as we're doing, you know, washing our hands, keeping our masks on when we're around people and doing those types of things, that it was very doable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree completely. I still haven't ventured out in the U.S. since I've come back home. So I really couldn't even compare it to how things are happening here in the metro Atlanta area. But I can definitely say in Jamaica, what you just described, it was very similar. Where we stayed, they didn't necessarily remove tables, but they did not seat us near each other. So they use the distancing of just proximity and limiting the capacity. And most of the resorts were at 30% capacity anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was like having your own private retreat in most of the places mm-hmm. where we stayed.
Well, like even our hotel, we stayed at a boutique hotel there. And I had talked to the one lady there at the pool, and they had removed 50% of their lounge chairs, and they had them grouped in either twos and fours, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't want to move them. Don't grab them and slide them, because they were going to let you know, don't do that.
Right.
But I thought they did an extremely well job. So I was impressed. And so again, I still highly encourage people to travel as long as they're comfortable with everything.
Most definitely. I will ask you this, like, how was the travelers with each other? Like, did you find that other people would try to just come to you and huddle typically, like, to get to know you?
No.
Or did everyone kind of keep their distance?
It was mostly distance. I mean, you saw the groups, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And those are the groups that usually make it on TV type of thing. But, I mean, most of us, I mean, we didn't. Yeah. I mean,
90% of the people, or probably even 95% of the people, were doing the respectful, courteous thing. So,
right,
I mean,
that
was not an issue.
Yeah, I mean, you always see the occasional person who's bucking the system type of thing, and
right.
But overall, it was awesome. I mean, we were glad to be out of town and to go to a place that we like. That was was nice,
and it was less crowded. So I guess that's a bonus.
Yeah.
I love that bonus. That was my favorite bonus. So that's the catch 22. I want people to travel, but I also love having it to myself too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, all right. Well, since we got you for about another 15 minutes or so, we got to hit Jamaica. I haven't been.
I haven't either.
And
what?
It's been on my list.
Yep.
And I just haven't been. So.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to give us the
tell us all about
highlights
it.
And.
Tell us about your trip, and then we always, as you know, like to hit the places to stay, what day tours are great, and then the wine and dine experience. So tell us a little bit about Jamaica and your trip.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I will say I wasn't even prepared to know that you have never been there. Wow. Okay. So that's a loaded one, but I'll just start with this trip for one. This trip was... a marketing trip. It was definitely for work. I was probably going to travel to Mexico, actually, but I was invited there by Couples Resorts to experience their properties. They have four resorts on island. They're a Jamaican-owned company, homegrown only in Jamaica, so that's very awesome experience to be a part of a brand like that. But my husband and I went 4 days prior to our actual work experience. And we stayed at Couples Negril. And oh my gosh, let me tell you, we have a hammock sitting in our living room right now because of that trip. We bought a hammock.
Wow.
If you go to my Instagram, you'll see a live I did. But yeah, it was so relaxing. So Jamaica is definitely, the people are very proud. Kind of like how Italians are very proud of to be, Romans are very proud of Rome, you know, and the French are like, oh, especially Paris, like, yeah, I'm French. Well, that's Jamaicans. They don't hold back. They're very proud people, and they love to have fun, okay? There are no problems, man. Everything's Irie, everything's Chris, everything's okay. Like that is literally their personality. My husband's from Jamaica. He was born in Kingston, and that's how he is, you know, very laid back folks. So we stayed in Negril at first, and Negril is known for the 7 Mile Beach, but ultimately the golden sunsets. Oh my gosh, guys, this is like the best sunset ever. The waters are really calm over there, but it's really great for diving. So if you're into scuba diving and that kind of stuff and snorkeling, you can definitely get a good experience like that over there. So we just really, you know, being on the resort, we just really wanted to relax. So that was the first half of our trip. Like I said, as we spoke about just a little bit ago about how the vibe of the resort is, not a lot of people, you kind of can do what you want to do as far as water sports and or being in the piano bar. They had that, but we didn't really participate in much of that on the first half of our trip. We just enjoyed the hammock and the sunsets and ate great food. I did do a tour of a couple of the properties while I was there, because not all resorts are allowing their guests off the premises, but ours did. And that's just because they do contact tracing there. Okay. So just to kind of back up a little bit, coming into the airport, they have a screening process, probably a little bit more involved than, as we mentioned, Mexico, where they take your temperature, you're physically doing hand sanitizers. I always get Club Mobe or Club Kingston. That's their personal concierge meet and greet. I always recommend that service to those anyway. So it's more of a fast track can you through customs. And it was definitely beneficial on this trip because they kind of kept, we did have two flights in front of us. So we had to wait until their screening process was over. And you're actually sitting, I won't call them medical staff, but they're in shrubs and they're all in PPE everywhere. And they do have like military folks there. Why, I don't know, but they're there. So, but I felt pretty safe. I think it just helps you feel like in a controlled environment coming into the island. So that's kind of how it is arriving into Jamaica today. But once you clear the screening and they just give you a reiterate that, hey, this is the corridor, the resilient corridor is like where they want tourists to stay. And that goes as far west as Negril and south as a region south of Negril called South Coast or Westmoreland, all the way up to the north coast over to the east, Portland, which is closer to Kingston, which is in the south, right? So it's a very large area where tourists can visit right now. But the island, the people are happy to be back at work. Tourism is the number one economy for Jamaica. They have some exports, but tourism is what they depend on. So they're very excited to have us be able to come back onto the island.
No, that's good.
Yeah, we definitely want to go. And, you know, you were talking about earlier that, you know, properties do change, you know, management change. But one of the things about Unique, we were talking, that you can visit is everybody, obviously, when they roll into, everybody knows Montego Bay. Right. But you mentioned Negril and then Kingston. What's really the kind of the differences between the locations on the island?
Perfect. I'm ready for that one. So arrival. So where do I want to start? Let's talk about Mobe since you brought that in. So I'm glad you called it Mobe. It's Montego Bay, but I call it Mobe. It's short for Montego Bay. But that's where I recommend for short stays.
Okay.
Why? Because it's the major airport that most people fly into. And usually you can get an accommodation as quick as 5 minutes away from the airport.
Okay.
It's like right there, like Sandals, the Sandals Montego properties, Sandals Montego Bay, they have two resorts there, but their Sandals Montego Bay property, it's one of the things that's really common is you see the airplanes flying overhead and you just wave. So it's very close, like the runway is literally their backyard. So there's a lot of luxury all-inclusive close to the airport. It's also a very bustling, lively area of the island. The Hip Strip has shops and restaurants. Margaritaville, there's three Margaritavilles on the island. The largest and most popular one is in Montego Bay, have a water slide, a nightclub at night. It's a very good opportunity, and that whole area is a good opportunity to socialize with the locals, which you guys love to do. I'm sure your guests do as well. So your listeners, so that's definitely an area of town for those who want to be able to have an area where they say they can walk up and down a strip and feel like they're mixing and mingling with the folks, mm-hmm. right? Dr. Cave's Beach is in the heart of the Hip Strip, so you can have a beach there as well. Scotchy's, that's a famous jerk shack, which is not far from the Hip Strip. So that area, Montego Bay, the furthest accommodations may be about 30 to 35 minutes from the center of Montego Bay. You have a lot of all-inclusives in this area. Some hotels, won't necessarily call them high-end boutique. Definitely for those who enjoy the more rustic of experiences, and a few villas are mm-hmm. in this area of town. If you continue going east about 90 minutes, where you're running to Ocho Rios. So Ocho Rios, so nothing in Jamaica is close, okay? You're definitely either going to want to know how, either going to, I wouldn't recommend driving your first visit.
Okay.
At all. No, don't try that. Even though they drive on the left side of the road, and you're like, oh, I've been to Europe many, no. Hire your driver, don't do that. Hire a car, and let them, and then talk. So that's an opportunity to get with the locals, and they love to just leave you their numbers, and then you can call them when you want to go somewhere. They kind of become your private driver for your stay. So definitely get a private driver or use a new ride sharing app. They have a new ride sharing app in Jamaica, the first of its kind, called Arrive. And that's what I used when I was there. So awesome and convenient. It's like Uber, Lyft. It's like an app similar to Uber, Lyft. So that was pretty cool for the island. That's very new for them. But anyway, going over to Ocho Rios, this is like the home of the active adventure and the busiest of their five cruise ports. They actually have five cruise ports. Many people don't know that. Ocho Rios is where Dunn's River Fall. I'm sure you heard mm-hmm. of Dunn's River Fall. This is the home of Dunn's River Fall, Mystic Mountain, where you can do bobsledding, zip lining, whitewater rafting, a lot of villas on this side of the island. This is where, I would say this is where the most populous area for private villa experiences. And there's not a lot of all-inclusives. I would say Sandals and Beaches kind of dominate this side of the island. You have one other major all-inclusive, Palace Resorts, and a few others. In the heart of Ocho Rios, from an accommodation standpoint, either you're going to be in a villa or you're going to probably be staying at one of the Sandals of Beaches properties.
Okay. So you brought up bobsledding there. Is that where Cool Runnings came from? Is that that part of the thing that obviously the Jamaican bobsled team, did it come from that area?
Yeah, in the Mystic Mountain area, like that adventure part is definitely a tribute to that team.
Oh, gotcha.
Definitely.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, and they have some other, like Yaman, they have that park over there. The Blue Hole, it's an alternative for Dunn's River Fall experience. Conoco Falls, that's another not commonly known explored waterfall. You can do a Bob Marley experience in this area. Which gets a little bit more on the recreational side of things, hint, hint, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what most people want to know about Jamaica. Like, where can I get the good stuff, right? It is possible to find some of that. And you don't have to look very hard most times. So yes, that is available. That's Ocho Rios. So definitely for the adventure junkie. I know a lot of people say, oh, I want to stay in Montego Bay. As you said, like, oh, because that's what they know. That's what they hear, because that's where they land, right? And then I'm like, but what do you want to do? And they're like, oh, I heard they have waterfalls, and I heard I can do white water rafting. I'm like, okay, you want to stay in Ocho Rios. And they're like, oh, so where is that? I'm like, it's 90 minutes away. Oh, well, do we have to do that? Yes. It's pretty much what you have to do, because on the opposite side of Montego Bay, 90 minutes in the opposite direction on the west coast, is Nauru, okay? So it's literally Montego Bay is in the center of the two major, the two other major tourist destinations. So Nauru is the capital of laid back and chill. Hence, I said sunsets and hammocks when I was over there, right? that's all it really is. You get your red stripe beer, lime out. That's a really good opportunity just to chill with the locals at the local rum bars.
That sucks that they're an hour and a half apart, because I want to do both.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well,
do the first and do the second right away.
I want to do the first in the morning and then do the second one in the afternoon.
Well, let me tell you, I actually see Jamaica as a destination, because I haven't even gotten to the other two locations yet, where it can be experienced like most people experience Europe, right? Multi-city, multi-country itineraries.
Right.
And most people don't look at the at the Caribbean or even the island with that type of opportunity, right? No. But it's definitely one of those destinations, because when I'm staying, especially when I'm going for work purposes and touring my properties and such, I'm either in Montego Bay and the Grill or Montego Bay and Ocho Rios. This last trip, I was actually in the Grill and went over to Ocho Rios, because the other two couples' properties are in Ocho Rios. So I did cover the entire island from those three areas, right, without stopping in Montego Bay to stay. But yeah, definitely the Ritz Cafe. Have you ever heard of Ritz Cafe?
Yeah. Well, not the one there, right?
Well, that's where they do the famous cliff diving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the Grill. That's on the Negril side of things. So they that's where you have more of your cliffs. They do have one of the longest beach, 7 mile beaches, but they also have Bloody Bay Beach, which is where I also stayed on that beach as well. I love it. That's where you can find your recreationals at ease over there. You have a lot of beach walkers that are at your disposal there if you want that. So that's how most people find that in that region of the island very easily. But one of the greatest things to do over there is this old, like, it's a bar in the middle of the ocean.
Well, you caught my attention already. It's a bar.
Middle of the ocean. All right, cool.
Yeah, it's called the Pelican Bar. And actually, this is something that not even a lot of travel advisors are familiar with. So I'm giving your guests, like, whoa, that one, like you say, bucket list.
Yep.
Something that most people don't know. It's called the Pelican Bar. And it's a must. You must do it. It's just really unique. I don't want to give it away, but if someone Googles it, you will see it. There also is a swamp river, so they have a lot of crocodiles in Jamaica. So you can do a swamp tour. Also known for a lot of bird watching in Jamaica as well. Jamaica has almost everything. It's amazing. Most people don't know that about the area. If you go over, well, south in the Grill is an area called Westmoreland or South Coast. Sandals has another property down there. I'm saying Sandals a lot. I am a sandal specialist, but that's not the reason why I'm saying it. But they do have the most resorts on the island of the same brand, right? So they also have like a Beaches family property. So Sandals are for couples and Beaches is for everyone else. And they have a Beaches in the Grill and a Beaches in Ocho Rios as well. Mm. So that's something to know. So if you ever heard someone say, oh, I've been to Sandals. Well, which one? Oh, the one in Montego Bay. Well, they are like, oh my gosh, five or six others, right? Like you haven't been to all of them. They all have their own unique personality. And I've been to all of them there. So it's not the same experience everywhere. But that is one of the only resorts south of Negril in an area called South Coast.
Nice.
From that Westmoreland area, South Coast, either going kind of southeast, or you can go from Ochi going south, you run into Kingston. And Kingston is the capital of Jamaica. And this is the most populous area of the island. It's the city life. It has different personalities. You may have heard about all of them, but it can be safe, okay? It can be safe to stay in Kingston. A lot of business deals happen in Kingston. They have an area of Kingston called New Kingston, which is where you will find more of your international branded, like the Marriott for the World hotels, and some of their local brands as well. I definitely say just hire a tour guide in a car. and they'll take care of you, you know?
Yeah, check
but
it out.
This is, yeah, you definitely want to go to Kingston, because Kingston is where you can get to some of the most, like, unexplored areas of Jamaica, like the Blue Mountains. Mm-hmm. And surrounding the, like, Port Antonio, which is the last tourist area, which I wouldn't even really call it that, because mostly probably Europeans visit there, and more so than Americans, right? But that's unspoiled Jamaica. Oh my gosh, pristine beaches, completely unspoiled. A lot of villas, boutique hotels. That's off the beaten path, okay? Kingston and Port Antonio is probably going to be your most off the beaten path locations, and probably some areas of Negril for you to explore and experience. And Blue Mountain, I don't know if you know this, but it's the number one exported coffee. And Starbucks actually have their own Starbucks Reserve.
No,
Blue Mountain brand.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, cool.
They wasn't going to let them on the island without that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, we probably only have a few minutes left. So if we're going for the first time and we actually love to eat food and, you know, drink a cocktail or two, what's some of the must places to hit for great food or an interesting drink experience?
Oh, God, it's hard for me because...
Too many?
They don't have names.
I got you. That's
the
best.
You know? That's fine. Yeah, they're
that's right.
The best.
So
they
you can draw out a map and just email it to me, and I won't share it with anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they really – and if they have names, you missed it, right? And mainly because it's stopping on the corner. Like, my one – not this trip. Going to the airport, our driver just pulled over on the side of the road. We were like, what are you doing, dude? We are, like, going to miss our flight, right? And he got us, what was it? Oh my gosh, I forgot what it was. But that's what I mean. They just pulled over the side of the road. It was fish.
So street food very popular there?
Not free.
No,
I
not free.
Say free.
It's street fruit food.
Oh, street fruit. Yes, street fruit. Yes, yes. You definitely, so one of the things you're going to experience, you're going to have some guy who got some bananas, some mangoes, they're trying to sell you all kind of stuff on the road, like especially when you're still in Montego Bay or even some areas of Kingston. My favorite, and it's something that would make you sound like a local, and they're going to do like a double take, like, hey, who you know from Jamaica? It's from Manish Water.
Manish?
And not every Manish Water. it's known to kind of aphrodisiac for some, but
so do you buy it by the gallon?
No, it's a soup. It's so much. I can't. That is hilarious. It's actually a soup.
Ah,
it's a
okay.
soup.
Okay.
It's goat soup.
Nice.
Okay.
But it's the spices. Oh my gosh. I will break my pescatarian diet for a bowl of manish water anyway.
All right. That's a seller right there. Okay.
Absolutely.
Right, jerk chicken, of course, but Scotty's is a place that you can get to. But it's not just jerk chicken, pork, seafood, lamb, curry. They do a lot of curries there too. But a lot of the hotels too, like the Rock House, has a lot of so the hotels will be a really good spot for, like, maybe I won't call it tourist trap at all, really. But it is a really great experience too, right? To go to some of the hotels that allow the locals to come in and the guests to enjoy and mingle together where you feel comfortable if you're not as adventurous as some, right?
Absolutely.
But Jamaica is big. I know I could talk forever. I probably
it's awesome.
Out a minute. I'm sorry.
I wish we did have more time.
No, man, you got a lot of great information.
Yeah, because we want to go.
Yeah, we want to go, and the food sounds great. The things to do sounds great.
I love rum and red stripes. So
that's not a bad thing.
Oh, yeah, I had that. Yeah, the Appleton rum. But if you ever heard of Jamaican white rum.
I have.
63%. Yep. Put some hair on your chest. So, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
Well, that sounds like
fun. I could talk about this all day. This has been
it's great. You've been fantastic. Unfortunately, we're running out of time now. We could go on for a good while, but we really appreciate it, Jackie. It's been a lot of great information. We're going to add to our website the show notes, which gives more detail on some of the food and things to do and all that. So we really appreciate that, Jackie. She provided that information for us. So any final thoughts?
Well, Jackie, again, for anybody who wants to find you to get you to help them out with some interesting vacations, where can they get you?
Yes, you can find me at New Vibe Travel. That's N as in Nancy, U as in Umbrella, Vibe Travel on Instagram or Facebook. My website is New Vibe Lux Travel, Lux with an E. And yeah, that's how you can find me.
Awesome.
All my contact information is there. It's going to be in your show notes, I'm sure. I love to have a good conversation about travel and just about what you're looking to experience next, and let's make it special. So.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, you've been a fantastic guest. Tons of information. We really appreciate it. And everybody, check out Jackie on her website. For our friends and listeners, we have started our Next 500 contest. So go there to win a trip. Worth at least $4,000 for two to go to. I think the current one is for a river cruise in Europe.
Includes airfare.
Includes air, at least has an airfare credit.
That's true.
Let's put it that way. I don't want to get ourselves
in
trouble.
Fly first class from South Africa.
No,
for that.
But it does include an airfare credit
right.
for two for a fantastic trip. So go check that out. Subscribe to, if you obviously are already a subscriber, please share it. That gives you extra chances to win in the trip, share it with friends and so forth, or download the episodes that we have. So anyhow, find us at friendsofcarryon.com or on Facebook, Instagram, and so forth at Friends of Carry On. Anyhow, thank you guys. Thank you, Jackie. And we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks.
Be sure to join the Friends next week for another great discussion. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also find the Friends and other content at www.friendsatcarryon.com or check us out on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook by searching Friends at Carry On. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to carry on, friends.